Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Why Christians suffer? Why Christians suffer? I think that it is a very important thing we should understand why Christians suffer. And I want us to read from the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 17 is where we are taking our text from. The Bible says, "For it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." I'll take it again. "For it is better if the will of God be so." Please, I want you to note, "if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." What the scripture means is that in doing the right thing, it does not always mean that we should anticipate suffering to come. Because in doing the right thing, we should ask the Lord that if it be His will, that in doing the right thing, you go through suffering, then His will be done. But it is not always that when you are doing the right thing, you should suffer for it. Hallelujah. So he says that it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So over here we see two sources of suffering. Two sources of suffering. The first one is doing the right thing, and then the second one is doing the wrong thing. So doing good can bring suffering on the believer. Living right can bring suffering on the believer. On the other hand, the Bible makes us to understand that when we do the wrong thing also, suffering will come to us. But scriptures is admonishing us that we should not suffer for doing the wrong thing. We should not suffer for being a gossip and being busybodies and being thieves. We should not suffer for it. Hallelujah. We should suffer for doing the right thing. Nevertheless, practically, in the life of all Christians, we do suffer because of a wrong thing that we did some time ago, because of a wrong decision that we took some time ago. Suffering can come to us. But God says that that is not the preferred suffering that a believer must suffer. In cases like this, when you are suffering for doing the wrong thing, for disobeying God, for doing, maybe having your own way, doing the things the way that you want, not the way God wants you to, you must ask God for grace. You must repent and ask God that He should help you. Because as you repent of the wrong thing that you did, you can ask God for grace and He will use it to work together for your good. So even the wrong things of our past can be used by God for our good. Hallelujah. So there are two sources of suffering. Doing the wrong thing and suffering from it is self-inflicted. But doing the right thing and suffering from it is something that God, as it were, allows for it to come to you, like it happened in the case of Job, in the case of Jesus Christ, who did the right thing, yet still he suffered for it. So we want to quickly look at some reasons why Christians suffer, whether it is doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing, and then repenting after doing that wrong thing and asking God that He will use it for your good, even as you continue to love Him What is the result? What is the reason for Christians suffering? Of course, these reasons we are going to share are the things that God has revealed to us. They are things that God has not really revealed unto us. They are things that are about suffering that we do not know. We only know in part. So we can only teach the word of God concerning why we suffer in part. I believe that there are treasures of darkness, like Isaiah 45 verse 3 says, God said that there are treasures of darkness. In the Hebrew, the word translated darkness is the word sorrow, is the word destruction, is the word death. It also talks about misery. It talks about wickedness, ignorance, etc., etc. So there is treasures in sorrow. There is treasures in destruction. There is treasures in misery. And God wants us to understand why some of these things come unto believers, so that when it does happen unto us, we will know that there is another side of the suffering, the sorrow, this misery. We will trust God that that side of it will be experienced by us in our future, even as we endure the suffering with a good spirit. So, number one reason why God allows Christians to suffer is that he wants to prepare us to share Jesus's glory. It is in order for us to be prepared to share Jesus's glory. Jesus's glory. Now, if you read the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 11 to 12, the Bible tells us exactly what we are talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible says that it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So you see, in the Bible, God clearly says that if we suffer with him, then we will also reign with Jesus Christ. So suffering comes to us so that we are prepared to reign with Jesus Christ. That is what Romans chapter 8 and then verse 17 also says. It says that, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the Bible says that we are children of God, we are heirs of God, and we are going to be joint heirs with Christ, or we are joint heirs with Christ, if only we are going to partake in his suffering, so that we may also be glorified together. So without suffering, we cannot be glorified. Jesus Christ suffered, Philippians chapter number 2, he suffered so that he would be glorified. And that is the kind of step that we also will walk in. He said to us in John 15 verse 20 that we are not greater than him. If he has undergone suffering, we also will suffer just like he suffered. Hallelujah. Look at the suffering of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. And then verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him as a result of his suffering, as a result of the cross, as a result of denying himself his reputation as God and taking upon him the form of a servant, humbling himself, in that humiliating death on the cross. The Bible says in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see that Jesus Christ underwent suffering. He denied himself of his authority. He denied himself of his being God, so that he took upon him the form of a servant, and that is suffering in itself. And God oftentimes will call upon us to deny ourselves. When the believer is denying himself, he is bringing himself down from maybe the place that God has placed him. He may be maybe a very important person in society. He may be maybe a CEO of a very top business, or maybe a highly political figure and all that. But sometimes, for the sake of the word of God, we need to deny ourselves of our reputation and come down and be able to relate with people. In doing this, we suffer because we do not enjoy the luxury that we have to enjoy in maybe the comfort of our cars, the comfort of our offices, and maybe with all the servants serving us and things like that. God is calling upon us. In fact, Jesus Christ himself said that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. He could say that because he had denied himself of the fact that he is God. He didn't think that he was being robbed of his God nature, or rather his God class. He didn't think of himself as being robbed. He humbled himself and became an ordinary person and entered the womb of somebody that he himself created. And God is calling upon us, ladies and gentlemen, to humble ourselves. And in doing that, we suffer with Jesus Christ. So you see that before Jesus Christ enjoyed the name that is above every name, God highly exalting him, he had to suffer. He had to deny himself, and he's calling upon us to deny ourselves. The Bible says that we are only joint heirs with Jesus if there is a condition. If we suffer with him, suffer the way he suffered, that we will be glorified also with him. Hallelujah. So you see that suffering prepares us to share Jesus's glory. Hallelujah. It is the way the master went and the servant will tread it. The Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 2, where we just read, that let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. First Peter also tells us that since Jesus suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. So Jesus Christ is telling us to have a certain mentality, that in suffering the way he suffered, we are being prepared to share his glory. Hallelujah. So that is the number one reason why Christians undergo suffering, so that we will share the future glory. We will share glory in our future. It is not suffering all throughout of life, but a time comes that God, just as it did for Jesus, will resurrect us out of our suffering situation and place us at the place where he has prepared for us, where we belong. Now, number two reason why Christians suffer, number two reason or result of baptism with fire, is to reveal God's glory. The reason why Christians undergo suffering is to reveal God's glory. Sometimes this glory is revealed to us ourselves, and at other times it is for the sake of other people, for other people to see God's glory. God will subject us to suffering temporarily so that he will show forth a glory to some people. In the way that we go through our suffering as Christians, we are recreated, the Bible says, to be revealers of God's glory. We are recreated to be revealers of God's glory. Now, if you read the book of John chapter 9 and then verse 3, there was a question that was asked Jesus Christ by his apostles. They saw a man who was blind from birth. And then they asked Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus Christ's response was that neither has this man sinned, nor his parents or his ancestry, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. And he said, I must work the works of him who sent me whilst it is day. The long and short of this story in John chapter 9 is that Jesus Christ opened this blind man's eyes, and then people saw his glory and they believed in him. We, children of God, are created to be revealers of God's glory, because God made us. Ephesians chapter 2 and then verse 10 says that we are his workmanship. That means that we are his creation. We are his masterpiece. He makes us, and then he wants to have a boast of us. He wants to be able to become so proud of us. So what he does is that he subjects us. He allows for suffering to come to us. And when we overcome that suffering, then he can make a boast of us. You remember the story of Job. God said to Job, have you considered my servant Job, that there is nobody like him, and things like that. God wants to be able to boast about us. When we endure suffering and we do it with the right attitude and we come out of the suffering, then God is excited. Then the devil is subdued. Then the glory of God is revealed unto people. I read some time ago a story of how a certain vehicle, I think it's a BMW, a certain vehicle, when it is manufactured, how it is tested. I was told that they drive it through water, they drive it climbing hills, descending valleys, through mud, through rocks, and things like that, just to test the car. So that after the car has endured passing through the mud, climbing the rocky mountains and things like that, the manufacturers can make a boast of the car, that this is a car we have made. This car can endure everything. So that is how God also sometimes do about us. He wants to be able to become happy about us. In the book of Revelation 4 verse 11, the Bible says that we are created for his pleasure. In other words, we are created to make him happy. We are created to make him happy. How does God become happy? Sometimes he becomes happy when we endure and overcome the kind of suffering that he allows for it to come our way. Then he can make a boast of us. Then he can glory in us. And he can say that, look at what I have done. It is able to climb mountains. It is able to pass through fire. It is able to pass through the water. It can pass through the sea. It can endure everything. And then we bring pleasure unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So God says that we are recreated to be revealers of his glory. That is why in the book of John chapter 11, the Bible says, I believe that you are somewhere around John, but in chapter 11, the Bible says that there was a family that Jesus Christ really loved. If you look at verse 5, the Bible says, John 11, 5, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that Lazarus was sick, he stayed in that place for 2 more days until Lazarus died. Look at what the scripture is saying. that Jesus loved this family. Because of his love for the family, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he didn't go until the sickness got worse and Lazarus died. And then he told the disciples, his apostles, that let's go and let's go and wake him from the dead. And the apostles were surprised, I believe, because they knew how much Jesus Christ loved Lazarus. He went and told them that, look, this sickness, this death, it is for the glory of God. And Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, and the glory went to Jesus, and the people believed on him. And he taught a very important lesson to all of us. That is why I am teaching us to understand that believers are people created for God's pleasure and God's agenda, God's assignment. There are times that because he loves us, he will not attend to our issue until the issue deteriorates and suffers, just so that through it, when it is beyond human understanding and he intervenes in the situation and takes us out of that situation, we ourselves will see the glory of God, and the glory of God will be revealed to other people who knew the situation that we were going through. So that is another reason why God permits believers to undergo suffering, even when they are doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Now, the third reason why Jesus Christ or God allows us to undergo suffering is to release his strength in us. Look at the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we shall read from verse 5. The Bible says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise thou not the chastening or the disciplining of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or he disciplines, and he lashes or scourges as if with fire, scourges every son whom he receiveth. Hallelujah. It says that God disciplines his children. In the book of Amos, he told them that, look, Israel, you are the people whom I know of all the families of the earth. Because of that, because you are the people I know, you are my own, I will punish you for your iniquity. God disciplines his children. And this discipline, it brings suffering unto us. If you read on in the book of Hebrews where we just read, the Bible says that no disciplining for a moment is joyous or is comfortable, but rather it is grievous. But afterwards, it yields righteousness. God's strength is revealed to us as we undergo the disciplining. You cannot discipline other people's children the way that you can discipline your children. So the way that God stretches his hands to discipline, the Bible says that the son that he receives, he is the one that he disciplines even. That is why Jesus Christ, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. God did not make things just rosy for Jesus. He had to go through the mill. He had to pray for things with tears. Is it because God did not want to give him that thing? No. But God had to teach him obedience by the things that he would suffer. Because anybody that God receives, God is going to discipline. He is going to scourge. It's like you take a whip and you lash your child. The child will say that you are a wicked person. I am undergoing suffering. You are lashing me all the time. But the Bible says that in the end, it is going to work God's strength. It is going to work God's righteousness in our lives. This is another reason why we undergo suffering. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians and then chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul reinforces this point, and he even goes to an extent of saying that, as for me, I glory in infirmity. I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I am undergoing these things, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the power of Christ, the strength of Christ, the holiness of Christ is demonstrated in our lives when we undergo some of these things which are not pleasant. When we are undergoing them, yet it is a way through which God's strength is revealed, God's power is revealed, and God's provisions are revealed unto us. Hallelujah. Another reason why we undergo suffering as believers is to bring out God's treasure in us. It's to bring out God's treasure in us. There is a treasure that God has deposited inside of us. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. The treasure is in an earthen vessel. It's in our body. But when the believer undergoes suffering, in other words, he denies the flesh. What the flesh wants to do is to sleep all the time, but you wake up and you pray, you deny the flesh. The flesh does not want to fast, but you put your stomach down, your foot down, you fast, and then you deny the flesh. There are many ways that you deny the flesh. Sometimes you want to watch a television program and God is leading you to pray. You deny your flesh and then you go and pray. There are many things that God is calling upon us to deny just in our obedience unto Him. Now, what happens is that when we deny the flesh, then the treasure of God, we break the flesh for the treasure of God, which is hidden in our bodies, to be made manifest. How come the blood of Jesus Christ was shed? It was shed because somebody had to break this body. They had to pierce his hands. They had to pierce his brow. When the crown of thorns was put there, they had to pierce his feet. Now, at the time that he was going through, people could not look at Jesus as you yourself cannot look when you are watching a story, maybe a movie on the dying of Jesus Christ. You can't watch it. But as he was undergoing the suffering, what was happening was that the treasure of God, which was hidden, the blood, that sinless blood, was being poured for us. There is no way what is inside of you can come out to benefit people if you do not deny the flesh and you do not break this body. It doesn't mean that you torture your body. Hallelujah. What it means is that if it stands in the way of what God is telling you to do, you deny it. You deny it. Sometimes your body is craving for maybe the opposite sex. You are not married. What happens to you as a believer? You deny your flesh. You run away, like the Bible says. Flee fornication. Hallelujah. As you undergo all these things, you are denying the flesh. It is a form of suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. So that what is hidden inside of you, the treasure of God, will be brought out before God's treasure inside of us can come out. We have to undergo some lashing. Can you imagine when Jesus was being lashed? By his stripes we were healed. When they were lashing his back, everybody was saying that Jesus is suffering because they will lash and some of the flesh will come. The Bible says that by his welts, welt is that thing that comes on your skin when you are lashed in a bad way. You see that wasia, that is a welt. The Bible says by his welches we are healed. Can you imagine? Through the suffering, healing came. Healing came. Through the same welt at his back, the stripes, healing came from that place. There is something in the suffering. There is a treasure in the sorrow. There is a treasure in darkness. There is a treasure in misery. There is a treasure in destruction. That if we allow and we go through all of these things, God may allow to come our way with a good spirit. Out of the same suffering will come out solution. Not just for us, but for other people. By his stripes, we were healed. By his suffering, some people receive healing. Maybe God allows you to go through the suffering you are going through just so that other people will be blessed by that sacrifice you are making of your food, of the flesh, of your desires and things like that. God expects us that we would have a good attitude like Jesus Christ did have a good attitude on the cross. This way, the treasure of God that is inside of us, it comes out. It comes out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the final way. The final way. Or the final reason for baptism with fire. Final reason why Christians undergo suffering. Final reason. Suffering enlarges us to receive more from God as it did for Job. I like Job, but there is something that God puts a story of Job in the Bible for us to learn from. The problem with Job was that because he was the greatest man in the East, the Bible says Job 1:1, he was the greatest man in the East. In other words, he was the richest man in his locality. Richest in Ghana, richest in Africa, richest in the world. Because of that, he was closed up to receive more from God. He didn't want more from God. So you know what God did? He took away all that he had so that Job would be enlarged to receive better versions of what he had. Sometimes in our lives, God blesses us with something and he's taking the thing back. Do you know why he's taking the thing back? Because he wants a better version. He wants you to have a better version. Because there is nowhere in our lives, no place in our lives where we should come to where we say that we are okay, Lord, we are okay. Even I'm the local champion. I'm the richest person around. I'm the most anointed person around. I'm the most blessed person around. I have the most beautiful children around and things like that. The most brilliant children around. But God may want something more for you. So sometimes he allows suffering to come our way. He takes that which we have from our hands so that our hands will be empty and we will be able to receive. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.